There is no stopping her. She is your cannabis nurse. Dr. Denise Foster is with us live in the studio this hour at News Talk 790 WNIS from the wonderful Hemp Haven just below the border, 726 Carrituck Highway in Moyock, North Carolina. You can call her 252-340-3557. The website is hemphavenwellness.com. She's open 7 days a week now. So many interesting products in the store, and then also Tuxcana Cabana. That's a new thing, which we talked quite a bit about that on the last show. Maybe we'll get to that on this show. First and foremost, welcome back to WNIS. How you doing, my friend?
Busy, busy, busy. Busy, busy. Lots of movement in the cannabis world right now.
How long have you been in Moyock now? It's been at least a few months.
We self-opened in February after I fled Virginia, and we have just been picking up in huge numbers ever since. We've got a lot of referrals from many different medical and healthcare practices around Hampton Roads. That has been a major part of what we do as cannabis nurses, and that's where really all of this is heading, because the science and the research that support harm reduction, that's our model.
Yeah,
harm reduction. And when we think about cannabis per se as a harm reduction approach, the worst we can say is, oh, you're going to feel a little bit intoxicated. And so that's where we, as cannabis nurses, help you figure that out or avoid it altogether if that's what's needed.
For anybody who has never heard of Hemp Haven, why should they go? Why should they check it out for all of your CBD needs, right?
We have cannabis nurses. I have professional cannabis nurses on staff, and we offer free cannabis consultations. I don't get along with people who don't have any ethics. And unfortunately, in education, in healthcare, and surprisingly enough, even in the marijuana world, there are a lot of unethical people. And in my 40 years as a nurse, I have unfortunately encountered my fair share. And when I think about offering cannabis consultations, you shouldn't have to pay for education for something that many, many people have lots of questions about, especially as we're conducting research that includes how to use it for the prospects and abilities to create wellness and health and harm reduction. And that's what we're starting to see in the trends across America, as even the federal government is now has the question before them, where should cannabis move? Off of Schedule 1, where it sits right now, completely prohibited. And the proposal at the federal level is moving it down to Schedule 3, which allows at least a semblance of a legal model.
Compare Hemp Haven with other places that may sell CBD products, maybe a gas station, or maybe you go to a dispensary and they have THC products available, but there isn't that guidance.
No.
There isn't that staff there that's going to be able to tell you what this does, what its best uses are, what its effect on your body will be, and how it interacts with any medications.
Cannabis nurses are the latest subspecialty of nurses. We were recognized by the American Nursing Association in 2023. Cannabis nurses have four approaches. First, we want to make sure that you are educated on these products. Second, that you have safe access, safe use, safe products. So everything that I stock in the store is lab tested, and it is made from hemp grown and processed in the United States that meets the 2018 Farm Bill, the Agriculture Improvement Act. The third platform is that we coach, and that's where we're seeing a lot of our repeat clients come back, because they begin to use the products that we recommend. You're free to buy, you're free not to buy, you're free to just come and get some education. And when we begin to use a coaching model with our clients, we start at point A, which is typically the lowest dose of the smallest amount of compounds that could be possibly effective for the conditions for which people want to use them. Then we coach, because this is going to be a slow transition as these compounds begin to interact with the body to help move it toward a state of wellness. And through that whole platform, the education, the advocacy, and then the coaching, we care, because we look beyond just your health. For instance, again, if you don't necessarily want to use THC, or you're in the military, or you're in a federal position where you're drug tested and could potentially lose your job, well, we don't want that to happen to you.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure that we care on multiple dynamic levels, because we know that these compounds have the potential to be risky, abusive, criminalized, mm-hmm. You lose your job. We don't want that to happen, especially in today's economy. But we also know that the science is becoming supportive of the fact that all of the compounds that we can derive from cannabis seem to have a beneficial effect on the body when they are used appropriately.
Dr. Denise Foster, once again our guest until 7 in News Talk 790 WNIS. Go see her at Hemp Haven Wellness, 726 Caratoke Highway, just below the border in Moyock, North Carolina. And she's on the web, hemphavenwellness.com. Her store open 7 days a week. Go check her out. So, a lot of things in the news.
A lot of things cannabis-related in the news.
We just had an election here in Virginia.
Yes, we did.
I suppose we can start there.
Well, I'm going to get to there. I'm going to lead up to that because absolutely things in Virginia are going to change, and things in North Carolina have already been changing. Last July, the governor of North Carolina, Josh Stein, announced that it's time for North Carolina to legalize THC, recognizing that THC can come from either hemp or marijuana. We have been now using the compounds from hemp for the last 5 years that we have been in operation, now less than a year in North Carolina since we moved in the early part of the year. So North Carolina has now become, believe it or not, the most cannabis-friendly in the United States, as it recognizes THC can come from either plant. And it is Governor Stein's proposal that it move into the realm of lab testing, keeping it child-proof and away from children and age-gated to those over 21 and older. And then, of course, his proposal is that he wants to regulate and distribute it like alcohol. And that's what we've been doing from our model, harm reduction, first access to safe products that are lab-tested. We don't recommend high amounts of anything because we start at the lowest amount. And that's where most of our research is coming, in the fact that we can use a number of cannabinoid combinations. And a cannabinoid obviously is any compound that we can derive from cannabis, whether that is marijuana type cannabis or its cousin hemp type cannabis. And hemp is the only one now in Virginia that is legal under the Farm Bill and legal across the United States, of course, as well as North Carolina, because it has been regulated in the 2018 Agriculture Improvement Act. I'll start off first with some health news, because it's very difficult to keep up with the health news. We have so many research studies, federally funded, I should say, research studies, that first looked at hemp and cannabis, marijuana, as a drug of abuse, a drug of harm, a drug of risky behavior. We had that model for over 80 years, as the federal government considered it just a bad juju. It's bad because it's Schedule I, it's on prohibition, and that's where all of the stigma and the bias elicited from. In 2023, President Biden flipped that script, and he created a vehicle to where federal research is now looking at cannabis and the cannabinoids that can be derived from it in the focus of how are they drugs that promote health and wellness, knowing what we know already about its risks and about its potential for abuse. We are actually seeing so many studies come out that are either THC-based, that are working within that harm reduction model, or, for instance, here's one that came out just a few months ago, and it was published in the Frontiers in Aging Neuroscience Journal, that said CBD, the non-impairing, non-intoxicating cannabinoid that we have seen a lot of benefits from. In this particular study, it shows that it improves cognitive decline associated with aging. It improves those issues, those dementia-type symptoms, the issues related to memory, balance, coordination. This is all based on, obviously, if you're not aware, the United States Department of Health and Human Services was awarded a patent on cannabinoids like CBD as medicines for their antioxidant and neuroprotective effects. And that was awarded to the Department of Health and Human Services in 2003.
Yes.
We are over 20 years to know and understand that these compounds have neuroprotectant effects. And this study is just one of the newest that shows that CBD interacts with areas of the brain that improve cognition and prevent cognitive decline as an individual ages.
I was just going to say, on our podcast that we've done, I feel like we've talked about this before. This is just one in a long list of studies that show this.
This is a billion-dollar industry as yeah. far as the National Institutes of Health, and this Medical Marijuana and Cannabidiol Research Expansion Act that I mentioned that President Biden signed, it provided billions, with a B, of federal monies to investigate. And this is where we are now using up that pie. This particular study showed that long-term effects over 7 months. So this was a sustained effect. And the longer that these, it's a clinical, so this means it's preclinical, I should say. These were in mice. Of course, we're going to more than likely move this into the clinical side where we have, you know, human subjects to test. But the longer that these mice used the CBD, the better their memory became, the better their coordination, their balance, and the better that they were able to provide motor control over their behaviors. And this is, again, supporting the fact that we know that the cannabinoids like CBD will have a neuroprotective effect. We're starting to see that numerous cannabinoids have this effect to where they protect the nerves. They will restore nerve function. They will reduce nerve inflammation. And this is where we are leaning toward dementia and those things associated with the aging brain. That's because inflammation sets in the brain, and there's really no way for the brain to reverse that, or their body doesn't have enough resources to mitigate that. So adding something as benign, non-intoxicating, non-impairing as CBD is now supporting the research that has been awarded to the patent.
Yeah.
Not only are we looking at CBD, here's another one that just came out from the Journal and the American Medical Association. That's a pretty high-profile journal, pretty high-profile organization. And this was a federally funded study in partnership with the National Institute on Drug Abuse. This study looked at patient prescription drug claims, and the data associated that with more than 3 million patients. From 15 years, 2007 to 2020. This research study was a very longitudinal study that looked retrospectively into the data that revolved around prescription drug use, revolving around opioid use, and cancer patients. So we started in 2007. This was pre-medical marijuana. There was no such thing as medical marijuana in 2007. You were using it illegally. If you were using it at all.
Right.
So moving from 2007 to 2020, the researchers in this study found significant reductions in the rate of patients with cancer with opioid prescription, as well as significant reductions in the mean daily supply of opioids and the mean number of prescriptions per patient, as well as the correlation that was positively associated with cannabis dispensaries opening. What this means is that in any state that launched a legal, medical, or adult use, also known as recreational cannabis dispensary, they saw the use and prescription of opioids in cancer patients declined significantly. This is because it was the easier access, the easier availability. The physicians who are now on board with saying, oh, okay, well, we don't need opioids because you're using a cannabinoid product. And in this case, more than likely, even though it doesn't specifically tease out the cannabinoid, we know that pain is number one use for THC. THC does an exceptionally good job of where it works in the brain to reduce pain. And the trick here, however, is, of course, we also know that THC, when used in higher dosages, creates impairment and intoxication. And now you're moving toward a harm model where now we could potentially get into substance use, cannabis use disorder, schizophrenia, paranoia, seizures, anxiety, etc. And we're back to cannabis nurses. We know that THC is extremely sensitive in some people. In fact, there are about 1% of the population who shouldn't be using THC at all because of their sensitivities. It's like an allergy. You got a gluten allergy, you got a peanut allergy, whatever. There are some people in the population that also have a THC allergy. So we know that we want to keep you safe, but we also know that people are now looking to THC with the support of their healthcare practices and their practitioners, such as oncology here and cancer patients, that they're saying, okay, well, now we have an opportunity to reduce the amount of opioids that you use because we know that opioids are not good for long-term treatment. We now get into tolerance. We get into overdose, and of course, when you overdose on opioids, something bad typically happens. What we found in this particular study is that the opioids were less likely to be prescribed, and there were no significant changes in the pain parameters, meaning that the patient's pains in this particular study were still being controlled using the smaller doses or whatever dose the patient needed to control their pain. The National Institute of Drug has drug Abuse has assigned 5 milligrams of THC is our standard dose. That means that at most people, 5 milligrams is the dosage at which they will begin to feel the effect of THC. That's a great starting point. Obviously, if you're not sure, we'll want to go below that. We'll want to go below 5 milligrams and begin with a microdose, starting at the lowest dose until we reach that level where we can control the pain without adverse effects like intoxication. And that's where we use these parameters that are now being provided through the research to help our clients understand that while THC can be harmful, yes, it can. Yeah. Don't kid yourself. People who want to use it as medicine under the model of the patent are now able to begin confidently knowing that, first of all, they're going to begin at a very small microdose. Cannabis nurses like me and those that work with us at Hemp Haven are here to help you understand the risks, and we want to prevent those times when you feel intoxicated, and we want to make sure that you're getting what you need as far as pain control. And the research is just ongoing, but we're back to the number of studies that are supporting cannabis use as a medicine are just becoming more and more prevalent, and we know that that's the direction that cannabis science is heading.
Once again, this is Dr. Denise Foster with us on News Talk 790 WNIS. And if you'd like to join the show, ask a question for the great doctor, 757-627-7979, our number here at WNIS. Check out the website, hemphavenwellness.com. She is at 726 Carrituck Highway, right below the Virginia-North Carolina border in Moyoc. We got a couple of minutes here. What else is in the news?
Well, here's something I thought that was really interesting. There's, you know, all kinds of hyperbole and, oh, my goodness, you know, the sky is falling as we talk about synthetic cannabinoids. There are synthetic cannabinoids, just like there are synthetic pharmaceuticals. Do you think you plant a Tylenol seed in your backyard? I don't think you do. So Tylenol and any pharmaceutical really that are prescribed, even the melatonin and all of the nutritional supplements and holistic supplements you might get off the pharmacy shelves, they're not the same things that your body makes. So every drug on the market to date is synthetic. So there's been a lot of hyperbole and a lot of, you know, oh, the sky is falling with synthetics that are coming from cannabis. But what's interesting about cannabinoids is that as a chemical molecule in the plant, they can be reformulated, restructured to create any of the other molecules that we find in the plant. For instance, there are many compounds that are created out of CBG. We've talked about CBG before. There are many compounds that we can create using CBD and changing its formulation. And this is one that was just discovered, a synthetic form of CBD that's coming from a very unusual source. Scientists have developed a new class of CBD using caraway seeds. Caraway seeds, if you're a chef or you know you have them in your kitchen, are used as a kitchen spice. And some enterprising psychology students at the University of Las Vegas genetically manipulated a compound that is derived from these caraway seeds. The compound is called carvone, and they have created a compound that resembles the molecular structure of CBD. It's completely synthetic, meaning that you're not going to find this compound in cannabis. What is extremely interesting, however, is that this particular structure of the genetically modified caraway seed is actually, first of all, no THC in it, but it seems to have the ability to prevent and reduce seizure activity and seizure-related deaths. While at the same time, we're back to neuroprotection, it interacts to protect and promote healthier brain cell development. Oh my goodness, we have a synthetic CBD that we can create from caraway seeds. And this was a study that was published in the journal Neuropsychopharmacology in October. And it was funded by the National Institutes of Health, the National Institute of General Medical Science, and the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke, meaning that numerous federally funded agencies were providing funding to manipulate genetically the caraway seed in order to make it look and act more like the CBD compound that we can extract naturally from any hemp mainly, but cannabis, marijuana has it, but not as much as hemp. And now we have a new synthetic form of CBD. How horrible. How horrible.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. So caveat here is it's you're not going to be using caraway seeds in your kitchen recipes. That's not going to work. But you will begin to see this because this is now heading to a clinical trial, obviously, because it seems to have some very good benefits, and we're using a very natural compound, caraway seeds.
She's Dr. Denise Foster from Hemp Haven Wellness in Moyock, 726 Caratoke Highway, right below the border. Her number, 252-340-3557. Our number, 757-627-7979, if you want to join the conversation. We'll talk to you coming up. Also, check out her website, hemphavenwellness.com. We are News Talk 790 WNIS. Talk 790 WNIS. Dr. Denise Foster is with us from Hemp Haven Wellness, just below the border in Moyock, 726 Caratoke Highway. On the web at hemphavenwellness.com, 252-340-3557 to call them. And Hemp Haven is open 7 days a week. Opens every day at 11 a.m. On Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays, they're open till 8 p.m. And the rest of the week, they're open until 7. Hours also on their website. Do check out the website. Get a better understanding of what it is they do. HempHavenWellness.com if you have not heard about Hemp Haven. And then go see them. Dr. D, super approachable, as are all of her cannabis nurses. If you have no experience with any of this stuff, I can think of no better person to send you to than Dr. D. So check her out. HempHavenWellness.com. If you want to be a part of the show, 757-627-7979, our number. Let's talk to Alan in Buck Row Beach. Hello, Alan. You're on with Dr. D on WNIS. Go ahead.
I am so excited, and I've already learned so much by listening to this show, which I've listened to before. I'm a huge supporter of WNIS 790 AM radio. I listen every day. But, Doctor, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Alan.
Comments off the air, and I just want to bring up three quick things, ma'am, and that is, can you just touch on, you know, like back in the day, because I'm 65 years old, when people would say things about growing vegetables and maybe cannabis too, or anything out of the ground, about spraying things on them my whole life that maybe affected humans, and maybe cannabis too. I don't know the answer to that. Also, ma'am, can you touch on quickly the connection of cannabis and used to be rope? I'm thinking that rope was a family of cannabis back in the day making rope. And the other thing is, can you just touch on, please, that cannabis and things as such have way more good benefits to human beings besides smoking and getting high. And I'll take your comments off the air.
Absolutely, Alan. I'll touch first on what you mentioned about rope. People get confused because cannabis is a family of plants, much like tomato is a family of plants, but there's many different varieties of tomato that you can use. But they all have the same tomato family. Cannabis actually has three plants. One is typically just a weed. It's called L. ruderalis, and it has no purpose, medical purpose. You might even find it growing in ditches in Missouri or Arkansas because it does no heavy purpose. Marijuana is high in concentrations of THC, and that is the one that everyone considers the bad guy, but here's the schizophrenic United States of cannabis that we always talk about. While it still remains in federal prohibition, there are now 41 states that offer medical marijuana. That's a plurality. That's more than, you know, that don't offer. And 78% of Americans now have access to legal marijuana. And the thing that I learned about medical marijuana when I practiced as a medical marijuana nurse is that it gets you high. And that's because of the THC content. And the THC content has been increasing because of the prohibition model, whereas in the medical and adult recreational uses, we now at least have some state regulations. Cannabis as a family now has three specific plants, the L. ruderalis, the marijuana, and then, of course, the last one is hemp. And hemp has been instrumental in our nation's history. Thomas Jefferson wrote the first draft of the Constitution on hemp paper. Betsy Ross sewed the first rendition of the American flag on hemp fabric. We've used hemp in many different instances. For instance, World War II, the United States military planted tens of thousands of acres of hemp when the Axis powers in Japan cut off the route from the Philippines. And so the U.S. military had to supply uniforms and rope and paper and packaging, et cetera. Even Henry Ford in the 1930s built a car made of hemp plastic panels and powered by hemp biofuel. So when we consider hemp and for all of its industrial purpose in our little medicinal dispensary, we see it as a medicine. And that's where we now are moving into the realm of understanding, while yes, THC is going to get you high in the wrong amount. When we use THC in the smaller amounts, as I just reflected on in this opioid study conducted by JAMA, over that 20-so-year period, we know that THC in small amounts is going to be more beneficial. In this case, you're going to reduce your opioid use. So the trick is to understand why to use it. What do you want to use it for? And, of course, people are going to go, well, I want to use it to get high. Okay, you know, but I also know that there is a large majority of the population that want to use it to get healthy. Yep. And that's what we do in our little dispensary is we help those individuals who want to either reduce their use of prescription drugs, especially opioids. We get a lot of referrals from pain management practices because people are trying to transition off their opioids. And we also know that we can use the other cannabinoids like CBD that was just talked about. Now we're talking about how to provide neuroprotection in the brain and in other areas. But every single one of the cannabis compounds, and we now know that there are over 150, have benefits. And that's where the science is leading. We focus on a harm reduction model. Here I want to report on one that just came out. This was from a national survey on drug use and health. This is an annual report that was reflected on. They saw that more Americans are now using marijuana than smoking cigarettes.
Wow.
Wow is right. Do you see why they want to ban us?
Sure.
Because think of the tobacco lobbies. We were seeing a reduction from 2021 to 2023. The rate of people reporting only cannabis use rose sharply from 7% to 10%, almost 11%, while at the same time, those individuals also reduced their cigarette use. This was published in a study in the journal Addictive Behaviors. So again, we're looking at the propensity to reduce harms. And tobacco? Do you think tobacco is addictive? Why, my goodness, it is. So if we look at this, we're seeing that cigarette use declined from 15% to 12% and then declined again to 8%. So as individuals begin to replace their tobacco use, they are now using more marijuana than they are tobacco.
And it mirrors exactly what's happening with alcohol.
And that's where we're going next, because there's a huge battle. There's a huge battle now taking place in the alcohol industry. So first of all, we have another study that was just published in, let me see if I know this. It was funded by the National Institute on Drug Abuse, and I'm looking to see where the publication was. This was a study based on data that was extracted from the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System, in which they looked at 61,000 people who used alcohol, along with a subset of that who also reported co-use of cannabis, and that was about 38,000 people. So we have a very large number of samples to look at, and this particular study showed that access to legal marijuana shops is linked to reduced heavy alcohol drinking. Do you see why alcohol and tobacco feel threatened by cannabis? Here's another one. Drinking cannabis beverages, so you don't even have to smoke it. Drinking cannabis beverages, which we sell a lot of in our little, there you go, I brought some wonderful samples for y'all. Drinking cannabis beverages reduces alcohol use while at the same time improves sleep, stress, and mood. This is considered a substitution effect. And this was a study funded by a research firm called More Better. So it is not peer-reviewed, but again, we're looking at an N of 3,000, meaning that there were 3,000 participants who were asked about their use of cannabis versus alcohol. They found that there were significant reports in overall well-being in the parameters of sleep, with reductions in pain, stress, depression, and anxiety. This meant that they found that overall 20% of these individuals reduced their alcohol, which was considered three or more drinks. They reduced from 38% down to 25%. So that was a huge reduction in heavy alcohol use, which leads to another study that was just published. This is why I can't keep up. Frequent marijuana use is tied to lower risk of liver disease related to alcohol. Alcohol-associated liver disease is the leading cause of liver-related morbidity and mortality. Those people who use alcohol three or more drinks per week is considered heavy use. So extrapolate that over decades, years, weeks, months, decades. So when you think about how alcohol itself is legal and endemic, where can you go that you do not have access to alcohol? This particular study was published just last month in the journal Liver International, and it looked at the associated alcohol liver diseases of 66,000 patients from 2010 to 2022. And this was a study that was published at Virginia Commonwealth University, right up the street from us. They found that when you begin to use cannabis, it begins to not only reduce the amount of alcohol, but it also reduces and protects and restores and repairs the damage done to the liver by alcohol. It reduced the alcohol-associated steatosis, which is the fat. It reduced hepatitis, which is a viral type load in the liver. It reduced fibrosis and cirrhosis in the liver, as well as a 17% reduction in hepatic decomposition with a 14% reduction in all-cause mortality. When people begin to substitute these cannabis beverages for alcohol, all kinds of health benefits begin to occur. We're seeing this a lot. People are coming in saying, I'm an alcoholic. I need to get off alcohol. I have cirrhosis. I have hepatitis. One more drink may be the end of me. And we're helping them transition again. You're not even using THC to get high. they're using it for the benefits. First of all, you're creating a healthier situation for your body, and you're getting improvements in sleep, well-being, depression, pain, etc. And here's where the metal meets the road. Just a few days ago, the alcohol industry, some alcohol industry groups, over 50 groups in the alcohol industry have written a letter to Congress to ban intoxicating hemp products. Because guess what's happening to their sales? We are at the lowest point since Prohibition in 1919 that only 54% of Americans are drinking alcohol on a regular basis anymore. I think we tapped out, so to speak, during COVID when everyone was at home, but you could still get your alcohol. Yep. And of course, our previous governor, soon to be exiting, allowed alcohol to go cups from that model, where you can take your alcohol on the road to go. That used to be called an open container law, didn't I? Am I not incorrect?
Yeah, you did.
So as we look at how these changes, these shifts in the paradigm are occurring, it's no wonder that the alcohol industry is up in arms. However, back to the back and forth war that's going on, just today, hot off the press, a beer, wine, and spirit distributors, a group of them, sent a letter to Congress on the foot of this particular group saying to ban it. This new group has said not to ban it because the demand for alcohol has shifted downward. They propose that the new cannabis-derived beverage industry drives jobs, new investments, and is meeting the demand for consumer changes as consumers begin to recognize that this is something that is available and legal to them. Here is a money quote from them. We respectfully urge you to oppose efforts to close the so-called hemp loophole through any spending package or farm bill. Instead, we urge you to work with our industry, that's the alcohol industry, to create comprehensive rules that protect communities, ensure product safety, and give responsible companies the certainty we need to operate safely and successfully. The alcohol industry stands ready to partner with you in this process. It is not since Prohibition in 1919, and that went on for 14 years before Congress rescinded that with the 21st Amendment, and the alcohol industry is now looking to partner with the hemp-derived or the cannabis industry to begin the processes of using their expertise to help regulate it and distribute it. This comes off the tail of whiskey companies. Here's a whiskey company that just a week ago, what is the name of this whiskey company in Oregon? The Heritage Distilling Company, a company that has been distilling whiskey for decades, has announced that they are going to be scaling back operations, citing consumer shifts toward marijuana as an alcohol derivative, as an alcohol alternative. This on the heels of those other alcohol makers, Jack Daniels, and my favorite, Woodford Reserve.
Oh, yeah.
They also have declared this year that they are going to be scaling back production of their brands. I used to drink Woodford Reserve, and I loved it. I haven't drank a Woodford Reserve in probably at least a year, year and a half, because I now use the cannabis-based drinks as a healthy alternative. So these are where they're going. A few more mentionables. First of all, surprisingly, just about a month ago, Target, your favorite store. Target has announced that they will begin piloting selling of THC-infused cannabis drinks in Minnesota. And if it begins to be popular, they are going to take it nationwide. They are going to put a dozen THC drink brands on the shelves in 10 select stores in the state. And they have described this as monumental, because while we have little people like me, little small businesses getting into this, and even our wonderful colleagues down the road from us, Morris Farm Market, they've got THC beverages in their little shop as well. Here is Target beginning to look at how to implement this nationwide. And consumers are now more likely. And here's one that just came out as well, Circle K. Very popular around the United States. Circle K is now going to begin selling their THC beverages nationwide next year. Mm. How about that? Last few comments about this. Something that has interestingly come out of the laws that have changed in Virginia, and I want to mention Virginia as we close the show. So hemp laws changed in Virginia in 2023. They got me caught up, right? That made me flee Virginia. They fined me over almost $500,000. They threatened to throw me in jail for selling federally legal products because they implemented regulations as they are allowed to do, and that was one in a Supreme Court appeal, Virginia. They regulated a specific derivative, a ratio, and now marijuana companies, medical marijuana companies, the Dalitso, which is a medical marijuana company that serves Northern Virginia, they have 6 medical marijuana dispensaries in Northern Virginia. Those companies are suing DoorDash and Total Wine in Virginia because they assert that DoorDash is delivering products from Total Wine that now fall under the illegal regulations in Virginia. So people like me, small hemp businesses, I was the 10th hemp business to go out of business last year. I was the first wave. I'm sure there's going to be more this year. But now the second wave is DoorDash and Total Wine. So while I didn't have the resources to launch a wonderful legal defense, I'm hoping that Total Wine or DoorDash do. But here's the interesting part. The claim in this lawsuit is they're claiming $80 million in damages because of economic injury and unfair competitive advantage. It's obviously not about health. It's about money. It's about money. So the last comments I'm going to make as we close up is, of course, we had an election this week. Yeah, noticed.
We did?
We had an election. And the new elected governor, Abby Spanberger, is now on board, and she will no longer be the stopgap that Governor Youngkin has been in implementing a legal adult-use marijuana market in Virginia. It's so interesting that while at the same time people like me using a federally legal hemp product that we're begging for regulations, we're begging for safe testing, we're begging for great safety parameters that are also available in the medical marijuana world, we were obviously booted out, and we're still being booted out because of Youngkin's laws.
Yeah.
That are unsafe. And when I was in my hearing, I asked, who made this law? Where did this law come from? Where did the research science come from? They couldn't tell me that. In fact, they said, we don't need to tell you that. You don't need to know all that. It's none of your business. We're just going to fine you and kick you out of Virginia. So here we are with Virginia's newly elected governor, who's now supporting legal recreational sales. And more than likely, we will see that begin putting into motion by the end of 2026. So things are moving very quickly, and our role at Hemp Haven is to make sure that people are using this appropriately, safely. They're using products that they know where it's come from. We don't want pesticides or herbicides or heavy metals in your product. And we also want to educate those individuals who want to use it as medicine, because we know that besides outside of the THC compound, there are so many beneficial uses of the other 150 or more compounds that we can help individuals achieve wellness. It's a wonderful time to be a cannabis nurse.
Ain't no stopping us now. HempHavenWellness.com on the internet if you want to check them out. That's HempHavenWellness.com. In person, go see Dr. D and her team, 726 Caratoke Highway, just below the border in Moyock, 252-340-3557. On her website, you can order online. Delivery is also available. Go check out Tuxcana Cabana. That is now
we had a great launch.
Up and running.
Absolutely. Loved it. Tuxcana Cabana, the first consumption lounge in Hampton Roads, and we are kind of going to be a little bit slow for the winter time. But come next summer, we're going to be having events, bands, live music, food trucks, Lots of celebration, but what we're trying to do is we're trying to help reduce the stigma associated with this use. For instance, you can use anything in our shop in our consumption lounge.
Keep on keeping on. HempHavenWellness.com. Good to see you, Dr. D.
Thank you.
There's been so many things that's held us down.